Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. Today, we're going to be talking about the transition into retirement. And we are so blessed and honored to have Dr. Jessica Fisher with us today. She is the Campus Director of Clinical Services at Rogers Behavioral Health in Brown Deer. And I'm hoping to provide some knowledge on what does this transition look like. Not so much financial. I always talk about the financial aspects of retirement. Today, we're going to talk about the psychology of retirement and the emotional readiness. And it's a big transition. So with this, I'm going to take a moment and welcome Dr. Jessica Fisher. Welcome to Money Sense, and we're glad to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Great. So I'm going to jump into our topic right away, and I want to focus really on the identity with employment. As you know, the minute you walk up to somebody, one of the first questions you might ask is, hi, what's your name and what do you do for a living? And we have so much identity with our jobs. And that identity kind of goes away at retirement. And, you know, before I even jump into this, I want to share, we invited you here today because Rogers is starting a whole program for the 55 and up. So what a great opportunity to be able to talk with you, because that's a certain segment of the population that I don't want to say we often overlook. But when you think of mental health and just challenges, we often think of adolescents or young adult or adult. We never focus on that 55 and plus. So before we even get into my question, take a moment and share what's going on at Rogers and what have you seen where you felt we need to help this segment of the population?
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate you saying that they're overlooked, because I think that's true. That population is often overlooked by society and, you know, just programs in general. There's a real lack of programs for that age population. So we developed our LifeWell program. It is a 55 plus inpatient, and then we're also in the works to get our partial hospitalization and intensive outpatient program up and running too. So inpatient is when people are having severe mental health crises and they might have thoughts of hurting themselves, other people, just need a lot more assistance throughout the day. And then partial hospitalization and intensive outpatient are day programs. So they go home at night and go to programs during the day.
So we're probably scaring our listeners right now, thinking retirement and all. But I'll tell you, when I did some prep work for today's segment, when you think of retirement, it can be just as stressful as a divorce or a death. And so that's why we want to talk about it today. In fact, again, if you're my client or you've worked with any financial advisor, the minute we start talking about preparing for retirement, it's always financially. And people don't understand the emotional and the psychological aspects of retirement. So I kind of started mentioning this earlier in today's program, where the first thing you ask somebody when you meet them is, what do you do for a living? And that ties into that whole concept of, we have so much identity with our job title and where we work. And that goes away immediately at retirement. And it's a big, it's almost like a loss. And share with us, you know, when you think about working with people who are transitioning into retirement, why is that such a big challenge?
Yeah, so I think for most people, retirement is pleasant. It's something that they're looking forward to. A lot of the research shows that most people actually, their mental health improves when they retire. But for the small population where it can be a struggle, those who maybe are quote unquote forced into retirement, right? Like they have medical conditions that maybe lead to early retirement. That can be a little bit more challenging, or people where work is really a passion. And so it's really important then to find other ways to find meaning and identity.
Well, and it's interesting because when I talk with my friends and I even think about retirement myself, I get so much dopamine from work and the satisfaction of doing work. In fact, my sister is retired and she said, you're not ready for retirement because I'll work on a Saturday or Sunday and have no problem opening up my computer and touching different emails and all. And that's just a sign I'm clearly not ready for retirement. But, you know, it can be a challenge. And I always tell clients they should test out their retirement almost a year before they're actually thinking about retiring. And what do I mean by test out their retirement? You're nodding because you're familiar with that concept. Want to share a little bit what that looks like in your world?
Yeah, so I think it can be different for different people. Some people want to continue with part-time work, right? And kind of get a sense of what am I going to do with some of that free time that I have. Some people might want to mentor. Mentoring is a great opportunity to pass on wisdom. Some people do like reverse mentoring where they'll teach somebody a skill and then they'll have that person help with something, maybe like yard work, finding other ways to fill your time, traveling, helping out with grandkids. Those are all great opportunities to test out retirement.
And because you said helping with grandchildren, mm-hmm. that is such a great opportunity mm-hmm. where you have the time to spend afternoons and days with grandchildren. But I always warn my clients, don't do it 5 days, Monday through Friday, because then it's no longer a pleasure. It's another commitment. And what happens is if you were to provide childcare for 5 years and then that child goes on to kindergarten, suddenly you're facing that loss again. Mm-hmm. And all of your friends who have retired have all created their own new social circles and different interests. And again, you're trying to reconnect. Mm-hmm. And part of our work environment is the social circle, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when I think about this, and everybody knows this phrase, you're with your work friends or family longer during the day than you are with your own family. Mm-hmm. So when you retire, that immediately goes away as well. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to make friends mm-hmm. as an adult. You know, as a kid, you hang out with your neighborhood kids or you get involved with sports or mm-hmm. It's very hard, or it can be more challenging, I should mm-hmm. say, to acquire friends in adulthood. Do you notice that with the individuals that you're working with today?
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially those who struggle with mental health concerns, loneliness can be a big factor that leads to that. So one of the treatment modalities that we use is behavioral activation. And what that means is looking at routine activities. So waking up, brushing your teeth, showering, getting dressed in the morning, doing laundry. It looks at enjoyable activities. So, you know, just as it says, doing things that you like to do, and then valued things. So family, friends, work, mm-hmm. volunteer can even fall into that. And that can really help people when they're struggling.
And it's having that purpose, mm-hmm. right? So we're going to take a little break here, and when we come back, we're going to dig a little deeper into this topic. Thanks for being with us, and let's take a short break.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you're looking for a trusted partner or ready to elevate your financial plan, you're in the right place. With multiple Better Business Bureau Torch Awards for ethics and integrity, Ellen Becker combines expertise with a team member you can trust. Meet our advisors and explore financial resources at ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. And we are blessed to have Dr. Jessica Fisher with us today. And she is part of Rogers Behavioral Health, and they have a new program called Life Well, which is tapping into the population 55 and plus. We talked a little bit early how that segment of the population is often overlooked. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk during this segment about the risks and the resilience with individuals transitioning into retirement. When I work with clients, we talk about the go-go years, the go years, mm-hmm. and the no-go years, meaning when you retire, those first couple of years, you are busy. You're traveling, mm-hmm. pursuing hobbies, doing all sorts of fun things. And then retirement kind of settles down. And then we have those no-go years. And not that they're not enjoying retirement, it's just at a slower pace. Mm-hmm. That's the typical retiree. Mm-hmm. When we talk about people who are struggling with the transition, it's very different. Mm-hmm. Do you see in your studies and working with different individuals, different patterns or stages in retirement? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think it's pretty similar to the different levels that you talked about. A lot of people go through that honeymoon phase where everything is exciting. They're looking for the downtime. If they only focus on the downtime, though, a lot of people go through that disenchantment phase where they experience maybe a little bit more depression, some anxiety, boredom if they're not filling their time with other activities. And then towards the end, we notice that people then transition into finding more of their values and roles that they can fill their time with.
Well, and that gets back to testing out your retirement a year before mm-hmm. retirement. I'll have clients that'll pursue different interests at their church, and then they get there and they say, oh, I don't like the mission, or it's not fulfilling what I thought. Mm-hmm. And then they're back to square one. What do I do with my time? And sometimes I say, you have to make sure you've got a friend to play with. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if you're the first person out of your social group to retire, nobody's home Monday through Friday during the day to enjoy adventures and hobbies. So mm-hmm. you do have to make certain that you have groups or somebody that might be able to play with you. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about friendships at that age. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the best avenue you think people would pursue to acquire friendships when you're 55 and older? Mm-hmm. Any ideas for our listeners today?
Sure. So a lot of people that I've talked with have found friendships at community centers, finding different activities to do there. Local libraries often have a lot of things that people can do, book clubs, even other activities. Sometimes they'll have gardening clubs or fun things that people can join and meet new people. If people are religious or spiritual, church organizations are a good place to find others. So
what advice would you give our listeners? So you walk into the book club or the rec center mm-hmm. or the church, and you've got anxiety mm-hmm. and you're nervous. You haven't mm-hmm. made friends in a long time. What advice would you give them? What would make it easier for them as they started meeting new friends in a group?
Sure. I think the first thing is, if you're feeling really anxious, paced breathing is always my go-to. So making sure that your out-breath is longer than your in-breath, that will force your body to slow down a little bit. So just to kind of calm your body as you're getting to go up to people, but then just be yourself. Try to find common interests. Learn more about the other person. Share some things about yourself. And it will get easier with time. It's always hard when you're first meeting people. Most people get anxious in those situations.
Yeah, it is. Even when I do business network groups, you know, you walk in and you're like, all right, I don't know anybody here. Mm-hmm. And so it can be a challenge. Let's talk a little bit about loneliness and depression, because mm-hmm. we're starting to even read articles that our college kids are lonely and depressed. And mm-hmm. that's because so many people look to social media or their phones to keep them mentally active. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about loneliness and depression, because mm-hmm. you're right. The longer you stay in your house or your apartment, you become very isolated. Mm-hmm. And share with us, you know, other than joining groups and clubs, mm-hmm. any advice for individuals facing that?
Yeah, I think the more structure that you can put into your schedule, the better. We see that people who have more diversity in the things that they can do tend to do better. And the people who just sit all day and are taking the retirement as just a time to relax seem to struggle the most.
When we think of anxiety and depression, when do you think somebody should recognize that they should seek out help?
Sure. I think if you start to see in yourself, or if you're talking about a loved one, that they're isolating more, they seem a little bit more sad or just worried, frequent worries, isolating, not eating as well, not sleeping very well, maybe a little bit more irritable, that can be a sign of depression that often gets overlooked. Memory issues that go above and beyond just daily forgetting that we all do, right, but can worsen with age. But, you know, more frequent worry or forgetting, that would be a time to seek help.
So if somebody's listening and they're like, hey, she's talking about me, this mm-hmm. is me, what are some of the programs that individuals could benefit from through that group?
Sure. So we have some groups on grief and loss, like you're talking about with work is one of the ways, but also as we get older, some of our loved ones pass away too. So it helps people with that transition. We have a group on technology and helping avoid scams, but also trying to find some social connections that way. We also have a behavioral activation group where we do have them do activities with other people. So gardening, bird watching, book club. We're trying to find diversity in activities that they can bring outside of treatment. We also have Foundations of Healthy Living. So that is helping with diet, helping with sleep, just some of those daily things that help people.
What a critical and great resource for our mm-hmm. retirees when you think of that. Everything from bird watching to the book clubs mm-hmm. and reaching out with other people who are also seeking out that social connection.
Yeah, I think that's the most exciting thing about the program is we were getting a lot of feedback that people didn't want a program with somebody that's 18, right? They want somebody that's experienced similar life experiences to them.
So if any of our listeners today wanted to learn more about LifeWell, mm-hmm. how would they do that?
Yeah, feel free to call into our admissions number and get some more information. They can help you determine what's the best level of care for you. And if it's not at Rogers and it's an outpatient program, they can sometimes offer suggestions for that too.
Do you notice, I'm going to talk a little bit about another topic where one, you have a couple, mm-hmm. and one of them retires mm-hmm. before the other. Mm-hmm. That can cause some stress and angst with mm-hmm. both individuals. Mm-hmm. Share with us the individuals that's still working. What kind mm-hmm. of challenges does that person face, and how can they overcome them?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is communication with your partner. Whatever stresses are happening, you need to have open communication. Usually the person who's still working feels that pressure of doing work plus doing things at home. So trying to find that balance in collaborating on, if I'm working, what can I do at home and what's a reasonable expectation of my retired partner as well.
Right, because so much has changed because mm-hmm. I work, my husband works. So we kind of have our mm-hmm. Skill set where I handle, obviously, the financial stuff and mm-hmm. he handles the other stuff. But right, if one of us were to retire, it looks very different. Mm-hmm. And then does that other person take on some of the responsibilities that I'm doing or vice mm-hmm. versa? So it is a transition. And then I always say, when the second person retires, you're actually entering that other individual's world. Mm-hmm. And so there's a huge transition with that as well. But that's the joy of life is change, right? Mm-hmm. And we have to look at it as it's an adventure mm-hmm. and it's to be enjoyed. Sure, every day isn't rainbows and unicorns, mm-hmm. but it can be worked through. So we're going to take a little break and we're going to come back and we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Fisher, who again is part of LifeWell, which is a new program at Rogers Memorial for individuals 55 and up. And we've been focusing on retirement because, as you know, if you've met with me personally or another financial advisor, we always talk about the financial aspects of retirement, never the emotional. And today I wanted to take a moment and talk about what does that look like? And how can you prepare yourself? And if you do have a little speed bump, you know, there are resources for you to reach out to somebody to seek some help. So with that, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Ellenbecker Investment Group is officially launching our brand new program, The Wealth Seed. This program is designed to give you high-quality financial guidance tailored to your stage of saving, no matter your experience level. As part of this program, you'll get a growing library of short, easy-to-understand financial podcasts, monthly educational emails, interactive workshops, and curated tools like book and media recommendations. Plant your wealth seed today and start growing with us at ellenbecker.com/thewealthseed.
Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor here at Ellenbecker Investment Group. And we've had a great conversation around the emotional aspect of retirement. And we've got Dr. Fisher here today, and she's sharing some insight of the different programs that LifeWell offers through Rogers Memorial. And I'm going to use this segment and talk a little bit about the social aspects of retirement and relationship changes. And, you know, when I think of retirement, what does that look like for me and my husband as well? And we talked a little bit in the last segment about one spouse retires before another, you know, some of the tensions that can come up mm-hmm. because one person's working all day, coming home and probably still continuing some of their responsibilities mm-hmm. that they've had and how that shifts. But if you are a caregiver mm-hmm. or if you're doing childcare, that takes on a whole nother stress. Mm-hmm. Share with our listeners today, when you are in that caregiver or providing an extensive amount of childcare, what that brings to the table in retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think of caregiver in a couple of different capacities. One is for grandkids, and then the other is sometimes people care for elderly relatives too. And both of those, they can bring enjoyment to people, right? They're family members that they really care about. They can also bring stress, particularly if that's what most of their day is entailing, and they're not able to have good variety in what they're doing.
You know, it's funny. I have a phrase that I'll use at home. I need to fill my bucket. And I fill my bucket through social interaction with friends. And, you know, some of our listeners here know I've done a little bit in comedy. I love horseback riding. So I have a wide variety of interests. But when I work with retirees, I'll say, how do you fill your bucket? And some people respond and they'll say, I don't even know what I like anymore. And when you think about it, if you're busy raising kids or helping care for a parent and you're working, you're just living day to day. And how do you help somebody figure out how do they fill their bucket or what are they like doing now?
I think going back and thinking about some things maybe that you used to enjoy and trying to do them again, see if maybe they can bring you joy. And then also trying to explore new things. You can find all kinds of lists online of different activities to try out and what are some things maybe that you want to give a go and see how it is.
Well, it's funny. I was helping somebody connect with some groups and there's something called meetups. And it's not a romantic dating meetup. You can search out different interests. Just like you said, if I want, if I'm looking for a book club or a gardening club, I can actually search on this website meetup and find when they meet up to just do that particular interest. So, and sometimes they're a group where if you were just trying to gain friendships, it's not like it's one-on-one. It's, you can kind of blend into the group. So that is kind of another resource because I do need to fill my bucket. And if I don't, I feel stressed that I'm just living day to day.
It's really important. It's like when we talk about the airplane mask, right? Like you have to put on your own mask before you can help other people. And that goes for grandparents or people who are caring for elderly loved ones too. You need to make sure you're in a good space before you're helping other people.
Right, right. So when we think of some of the challenges in retirement, if you're struggling finding your social circle, as well as how do you fill your bucket, there are some health issues that come into play and mental health issues kind of lead into that, right? What are some of the health concerns when you are working with individuals that are having difficulty transitioning into retirement?
Yeah, I think there can be such a wide variety of medical concerns and mental health concerns. The hard part is when that impacts mobility. I think that can be the most challenging for people. When they do have good health, it helps them to get out into their environment, meet more people, go for hikes, walks, things like that. And when that's impacted, that can also really impact your mood.
Well, you know, I want to focus a little bit on the positives, you know, the emotional aspects. And you started the segment with, it's an adventure. And so I'm going to shift gears because I want people to understand if you properly plan for retirement, both financially and emotionally, it is a, it is your golden years. And I always tell individuals, you know, do your traveling and your hobbies when you're young and you're physically able to, you know, walk the steps and climb the steps and do all that. You've probably have seen some great success stories as people have transitioned to retirement. Share with our listeners how, you know, planning has really impacted their world positively.
Yeah, I think the more planful you can be, the better. So like you said, having diversity in things before you even retire, maybe shifting to adding in some volunteer work, things that you can continue when you retire, having growth mindset. So how can I continue to learn new things? You know, learning doesn't end when you retire. You can still find ways to learn and do new things. Using mindfulness, so being more in the present, people tend to do a lot better. And then also people who find joy in the little things. So just kind of, you know, finding joy in ordinary life.
You know, I have an article that I wrote in our newsletter, and it was really inspired from a client. And I actually asked the client if I was okay to share her methodology in retirement. And she did say, anytime I did anything, it had to impact me in a positive way. I had to enjoy the activity. It had to help me physically, emotionally. And it was this great concept of every time she chose to do something, it had to impact one of those pillars of retirement. So if you're listening and you need to find that article, shoot me an email at Jean@Ellenbecker and I'll get that over to you. Or you could go to our website, www.ellenbecker.com, and seek that out, because it was a very cool way of facing retirement. And
our goals shouldn't end, right? We should still have those short-term and long-term goals and work towards things.
And learning. In fact, UW-Milwaukee, I know you can take classes as a retiree, no credit, and I think it's free. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's free. And so that's exciting. And you're right. Just I think if I give you any advice today, it's think back when you were 20 and 30 years old. What interest did you have that you had to put on the back burner because you were busy with a career or raising children, and seek those out? My mom was an artist, and so I've started painting. So even in my phase of life, I'm trying to figure it out. And as I kind of alluded to, I've done a little comedy, and that was totally outside my box, but I wanted to do something completely different. And when I announced to my family I was doing this, they responded by quickly saying, "You are so not funny." And I said, "Game on." And so I thought, I've got to do this. And I met so many great people through that. And we still keep in contact. And as far as art, I've taken some art classes. MIAD, Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. They have some great weekend classes. And again, they were people my age and older. So I felt like I wasn't under pressure to carry on conversations, but I was able to pursue this interest. So I'm just stirring up some thoughts and ideas. So as you're listening, you're like, hey, I can do that. And it's been just a growth for me too, because our daughter is now 25 years old. So now my husband and I have to reinvent each other and ourselves. So we're at that phase where it's like, okay, let's have some fun. So it's a different phase of life. So with that,
I even think about people with mobility issues. Swimming is a great opportunity, right? So finding things that you can do. So maybe you're somebody that really likes exercise and activity. What can you do?
You know, and I'm glad you brought up swimming, because I have a couple clients that do aqua aerobics and they love it. And then after the class, sometimes they go out to lunch and they've acquired these friendships that they never thought they would acquire in this phase of life, and it has filled their bucket. With that, I want to thank Dr. Fisher for joining us this morning. And again, if you have any questions, definitely seek out the Rogers Behavioral Health website. Is there a certain website that they should seek if they are thinking, hey, I could use some assistance with this transition?
If you go to any of the sites like NAMI, there's some more information there on different programs that are helpful. That would be where I would suggest, or the American Psychological Association.
All right, perfect.
Again, I also have a couple of resources.
Oh, yes, please.
That I could show. So one is The Psychology of Retirement by Doreen Rosenthal and Susan Moore. This is a great book for anybody that wants to learn more. And then this one, I really like, Happy Retirement, The Psychology of Reinvention, with consultant Professor Kenneth Schultz, who is an expert in the area. I really like this one just because it has some more pictures and it's a little bit easier of a read. So those are some great resources if people would like to do some reading as well.
Thank you for bringing in those resources. And if you want to learn more about those resources, definitely reach out to your financial advisor. Give me a call. And with that, I want to thank you for taking some time out of your day to share your insights. And
thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
Yeah. With that, thank you for joining us on Money Sense. We hope today's conversations made a meaningful and impactful difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, at Ellenbecker, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. With that, be well and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellenbecker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.